Welcome to the Econopack Contract Food Packaging Podcast. I'm Sarah, and this is Mike, and today we're interviewing Rich and Millie from the Shipping and Receiving Department. We're talking about the distribution offerings we have, including shipping to retailers like Costco, training new team members, and more. Let's get right into the show. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. So to get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself at Econopack?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Been with Econopack for 13 years. Started out as the logistics manager, in charge of everything in the warehouse, shipping and receiving. Started with us when we were in New Jersey, and then we moved over here to Pennsylvania. We started with six direct employees underneath me, and we have built up to now 50 direct employees underneath us. And inside the 13 years, I have recently been promoted to customer service manager. And with taking on that responsibility, I still oversee everything in logistics. And obviously with a promotion like that, you have to have confidence in some of your employees to take over your responsibilities. And with that, that brought in Millie, and she was able to take over all the daily operations of the department and allowed me to extend moving into other opportunities into Econopack, coming into the front office and helping out with the customer service department, and now she's overseeing the shipping department.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, I've been with the company for 4 years already, and I started from the bottom, like working on the line, and I made my way through where I am right now. So I was hired by Rich to work in the shipping department, and yeah, he really helped me a lot on different ways. So that's where I am right now. Also, as of now, I'm the shipping supervisor, and basically my role is oversee all the operations, which includes all the tracking, all the logistics, shipping logistics, and we also oversee employees.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, can you give us a behind-the-scenes look of shipping and receiving at Econopack?
Yeah, of course. So when we receive product, we make sure we inspect the product, of course, and we make sure everything is in receiving the correct way. We also put it away by FIFO order so it's ready for production to be packed into finished goods, and then when it's packing to finish goods, we put it on outbound lanes, so it's ready to ship. And we get tracked schedule with the customers with date and time to be picked up. So just so we ship the customer needs, and we do all the paperwork, everything. We do all the process for shipping, so that's how we basically do it.
It's so starting at the beginning, we work, at least it's my understanding, work with scheduled receiving. So when they're sending the product in, it's all based on appointments only, right?
Yeah, yes. So we have scheduled dock times with all of our carriers that come in and out of here. So Millie does a lot of scheduling in her day. So she schedules loads. She receives a lot of emails throughout the day, scheduling loads throughout the whole week. Our loads pretty much are about a week apart of scheduling. We do require 24 to 48 hours notice for a dock time, and everything is by appointment only. Mm-hmm. So if a carrier is not meeting his dock time or is late for any reason, unfortunately, he would probably have to wait a little while to get unloaded, or we try to fit him into our schedule as best we can. Everything that we do here is a scheduled dock appointment. And then that's how we receive based off of that. And then we ship based off of that too. That's pretty much, it's a packed day. We start from 7 in the morning, we ship out until 10:30 at night. So we ship and receive on two different shifts. But we do have people in the department 24 hours a day. So on the third shift, we do a lot of, it's our cleanup, we call it our cleanup. We supply everything into the production room, but we do all of our waste goods, all of our waste trucking and everything on third shift with that crew.
Awesome. And I know when we're talking to prospective clients about our benefits of shipping and receiving, a lot of people are interested in our drop and hook program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, like we said before, like we go by appointments only, but we also offer a drop program, which includes all the trucking companies that we have on site. So they reach out to me for the drop dates, and what they do is they bring us inbound load, so that way we give them the option to take an empty trailer back or a load or an outbound load back. So that's the flow for that, for each. Yeah, not for all of them, but we have like certain trucking companies that we offer that.
Okay, now I understand a little bit better.
So we have each carrier that we have a trailer pool with them, so they keep a certain amount of trailers on hand for us. Some of the individual carriers ship to different locations for us. So one carrier in particular ships to four or five different locations for us. So that carrier, we have a trailer pool of 15 with, and then 15 trailers on site for them. And then, like Millie said, they'll drop and hook. So they'll bring us a trailer, whether it's an empty to take an outbound load out or an inbound trailer with inbound product, and then they'll take an outbound trailer back with them, or an empty, whatever they've been planned for their day. And then other carriers will have smaller trailer pools because they only carry to one location, as opposed to the other carriers shipping to five different locations. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of how the drop programs work. And a lot of trailers that we get come via the rail. Mm-hmm. Everything comes via the rail, so it gets dropped off in the rail yard, and then gets taken off of the rail yard with the crane onto a chassis for a driver. Puts onto his chassis and driven up to Econopack for the day, and then he drops it here.
Awesome.
Wow.
And I think we currently have 150 spots for that, right?
Yeah, there's about 150 spots for trailers back there. Yeah. I think we have 100 trailers on site, right?
Yeah. And then, so we're expanding our facility, and that'll lead to more parking space. And how many are we going to have then? I think it's like
1,000.
1,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
We understated it.
I was saying 400. Yeah. Okay.
We can hold trailers for everybody if we wanted to. But yeah, we're very excited about the expansion and everything that has to offer. So yeah, can't wait for that to start.
That's awesome. And so, can you talk through some of the locations that we bring product to?
Yeah, most of the. A lot of what we ship is for whatever our customers' needs are. It's really what we do. Some of our bigger clients, we ship to their distribution centers. Some of those distribution centers are all over every place in the United States, even Canada. But we also do, for any of our other customers, we've direct shipped to Costco. We've direct shipped to Walmarts. We do a lot of direct ships to Aldi's and some Kroger's, stuff like that. But yeah, that's pretty much how that's how that goes.
So we're constantly reinvesting into our company with new machinery in our production area. What's an example of reinvesting into our shipping and receiving?
Yeah. So starting this year, we started with a new program. It's called the scanning system, which applies that we can pull inventory and we can receive it directly with MySys. MySys is the system that we use at Econopack. So when we apply the scanning system, it's more efficient for us to unload and ship trucks. And with the scanning system, we tag everything faster for production, and we can also pull inventory from the system from there.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
We also invest in our trucking. So in order to move our, like we talked about before, having drop trailers on site, the only way you can move those drop trailers is by having a yard switcher or a yard jockey. Mm-hmm. So we have a yard jockey and yard switcher on first shift, and we also have one on second shift. The equipment is brand new. We have a brand new 2023 switcher on the day shift, and we also have a 2023 yard switcher on second shift. So we invested, very well there. And our docks, we invested into our warehouse and into our facility. So putting in new docks. It was a big help for us. It was enabled us to unload trucks a little bit faster, but getting into new docks in as well. And it also looks nice around the outside of the building. You know, we have a brand new dock doors and everything that we invested in, and so we like to keep everything clean and fresh and new. And so that's been a big help for us.
That's awesome.
And what about like forklifts too? I know that we're looking. You know, we have electric forklifts. That was a big investment.
That was a great investment for us. So we used to have the propane lifts, and on first shift there's 17 forklifts going at all times. So if you think about the noise that a propane lift produces, it's quite loud. So when you have 17 of them running, it makes for a very loud workplace. We invested in all electric lifts, and I love it. I think it's been a game changer for us. It changed the dynamic in the warehouse, if you ask me, when everything was so loud, because it's a production based company, so it's a production based shipping company, so it's a busy place to work. So when you have the noise and everything, it created a little bit of I wouldn't say the words anxiety, but it creates a loud workplace. Mm-hmm. And when you take that away and went to all the electric lifts, it really took the atmosphere and the noise, and you could see on a daily basis, you could see everybody just kind of calm down a little bit. Everybody's shoulders kind of released a little bit just by the noise. And I thought that was fantastic. I loved that addition that we did.
I totally agree. Whenever I go in there, it's the quiet beeping of the forklifts and then the smell of the wood from the pallets.
Yeah.
It's so relaxing in there.
Yeah.
And speaking of our pallets, can you talk a little bit about the pallets we offer to our clients?
Yeah, we offer grade A pallets, grade B, jet blue pallets, and red pico pallets. So I'm going to talk to you about the grade A's and grade B's, which is a brown pallet, right? So some of the customers in the past have requested to use grade A pallets for their finished goods, which we also offer the capability to order them online for them. And we also do the same thing for grade B pallets.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and then we have a lot of our customers use the blue CHEP pallet. We're part of the CHEP pallet program. We keep track of our inventory inside the CHEP system. And we also have other clients that use the red Pico pallet. And again, that's ordered through a Pico pallet program, and we maintain that inventory inside their system as well.
Mm-hmm. And some of our product arrives to us on slip sheets. Can you explain that process?
Yeah, so the slip sheet is basically a way to get away from a pallet, a little bit cheaper for some people. It's basically shipping on a big piece of cardboard is what it does. And the way you unload that is with a push-pull or a slip sheeter, they call it. So a push-pull basically just pushes and pulls, so it has a little grabber on it, and it'll grab the cardboard and pulls it onto the forklift. And it's not the fork. So a slip sheeter, if you actually looked at it, the forks on a slip sheeter are about a foot wide, so it's a lot wider than a regular forklift. So when it slides on there, it basically slides it onto the whole the forks. Mm-hmm. And then it gets pushed off onto a pallet, so and then placed away into the warehouse and in the inventory. But yeah, a lot of our trucks come in on slip sheets right now, and now we do have the capabilities of unloading that and also loading back that way.
Okay, that's
very
great.
Cool.
Yeah. It's actually a cool program, the slip sheeter. If you actually watch the guy using it, it's a interesting technique, and not everybody can do it, to be honest with you. So yeah. We have some very good slip sheet drivers that we're proud of. So I can say I don't think a lot of food facilities have some of the slip sheet drivers that we have. So we're very proud of them.
So this year was the first time that we participated in National Truck Driver Appreciation Week. It was in November, and Millie was a part of that. She took pictures for me. So can you talk a little bit about what we did that week?
Yeah, actually, we gave like a little bag of goodies as appreciation with all the trucking drivers. They were very grateful for that. We took pictures that day. And actually, they also like posted like good reviews online for mm-hmm. us. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. It was fun. Yeah, we did it for, I think, like 3 days, right?
We did it throughout the entire week.
The entire week. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback on that from a lot of the drivers that came in. A lot of the drivers that come in here, like I said, since we get a lot of the trailers from the rail, a lot of those guys are in here on a daily basis. So over the years, you build a relationship with those drivers. All great people. We love they really are. And so you work with them. If they're late for their appointment, you know, if we're having a busy day, it could be a little bit of a struggle for them. But for the most part, you build a relationship. They become almost friends of yours. Mm-hmm. And we really like to – we want to take care of them. You want to get them in here. We don't want them sitting here all day. We know they have a job to do. We know that they want to make money. You know, mm-hmm. The last thing, they're not going to make money sitting here. So yeah. We want to get them in and out as fast as we can. And I think that's – I think that was very noticed on Trucker Appreciation Week. Mm-hmm. And I think if you talk to a lot of truck drivers, they'll tell you about our facility that we do try to get everybody in and out of here in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. We have great staff that works with us. Millie and the girls in the office mm-hmm. are fantastic. Their relationship with the drivers are built. They increase every day. And me, from doing it for 30 years, I've built a relationship with them and their dispatchers. So that's even enabled us to be able to create, to use them to help us in other ways too. A lot of trucking companies that come in here are some of the same trucking companies that I'll use for bids and for other projects that if we want to send a trucking company out to pick something up for us. And it's built on relationships. I think a lot of business is built on relationships, and being in the industry for 30 years, have a lot of different carriers, a lot of different friends. I can call somebody in Illinois and be like, Jeff, you know, can you get this for me? No problem. Because I know the working relationship. I know it's going to get picked up on time. I know I'm not going to have any problems. I know he's going to communicate with us. And that's pretty much what we do. We love to take care of all the guys that come in here, and we want to get them in, and we want to get them out of here, and we try to do the best we can.
So how do we manage big swings in order volume from our clients?
So we really have a good communication with our customers and our customer service department. They usually let us know how many pallets we are expecting ahead of time, and that gets us time to get ready for the pallets that we are receiving in, as they have like their own space. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have a forklift driver that we put in charge of making space for us, so we will tell him how many pallets that we need to hold for our client, and we get that information, like Billy said, right from the customer. That gets relayed to the customer service department. Customer service department communicates with the warehouse team on how many pallets they're looking to hold, and then, like Billy said, we create the space. We will hold a certain section of the warehouse. We'll move everything things around, and if the customer tells us they're bringing in 300 or 400 pallets, well, then we know that we're going to create a space in the warehouse that's going to hold 300 or 400 pallets, and that spot will be dedicated for that customer's needs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that comes from now with you in customer service, you know, your experience in the logistics side and the warehousing side, and now on the customer service side, it's really important about building forecasts and then having production attainments and things like that with our clients. So those two things work hand in hand. So I could see why, you know, it'd be very important for customer service to make sure that they're providing that information.
Yeah, definitely. All the communication is big. So it starts with the people who are originally talking to our clients, and that's all of our upper management. When their communication starts with the client, that communication trickles down to our project manager, who then in turn starts the project, who all the communication then goes to the customer service department. Mm-hmm. That customer service department has to feed that information and communication to the production floor, mm-hmm. and the same communication has to get relayed to the warehousing team. So a lot of communication in a lot of different departments in our company all make that come together. There's no doubt about that.
Great.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I have one more question for you. I would love to know what you guys like to do outside of work.
Yeah, Millie, what okay. do you like to do?
Yeah, so usually my routine. So I usually, you know, leave work. I like working out, like mm-hmm. going to the gym. I like exercising, and I also love cooking. I like making something different for dinner every day.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's what I do.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Last night, pork chops.
Pork chops, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So,
very
cool. Yeah, thanks for having us. This is great. I have a couple of teenage boys. A lot of my time is with them. We're outdoorsy people, so we're hunters, we're fishermen, we're hikers. I play a lot of golf in the summer. Should be hitting the course here fairly soon. It's getting nice out.
Nice.
And I also have a camper. We do a lot of camping. So I have a camper that's at a campground about an hour from here. Try to hit that every weekend in the summertime if we can. But for the most part, you're going to see me and my kids outside doing something, whether it's hunting, fishing, some kind of sports activity, throwing a football, throwing a baseball. You know, pretty much that's what we do. Dirt bikes. My oldest kid's a dirt bike kid, four wheeling. So they're all, we're outdoorsy family for sure.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, thank you again, guys, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.